Joining us right now, he represents the folks in Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Always a pleasure to bring him on, Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Doing well. Just got off my roof. I've been blowing leaves off, cleaning gutters, doing the homeowner property maintenance kind of thing. How about you?
Doing this thing you call radio, or at least attempting a version of radio. It's debatable if I'm actually doing radio, but such as it is, we got you on with us. Crazy times, obviously, with the election still in dispute. Where we are right now, I know you've been watching this. You've been very outspoken on the way these votes have been tallied, and maybe you know whether or not they're valid. I'll walk us through where you are based on what's happened in recent days.
Well, the election does not become official until January the 6th or January the 7th at the earliest. January 6th is when the states submit their electoral college votes to the United States Congress to either accept or reject. And we, Congress, do have an absolute right under the United States Constitution and the U.S. Code to reject the Electoral College votes of states that we do not believe have election systems that are accurate. So once we have that process completed on January 6th, maybe a bleed over into January 7th, then we'll know who the president-elect is going to be, unless so many submissions of electoral college votes by states have been rejected that no candidate has the required 270 electoral college vote majority, in which case the presidency would be decided by the House of Representatives, which would elect Donald Trump, and the Senate would elect the vice president, which would be either Kamala Harris or Mike Pence, most likely Mike Pence, because he would be the one who's presiding over the Senate at that time. And should the two Georgia Senate seats go Democrat, such that it's a 50-50 tie, Mike Pence would be in the unique position of breaking the tie by voting for himself. What a situation we're in. But that's the legal process. Now, all this stuff going on in court, it can affect what Congress may want to do, but the courts are not the final arbiter of who is president of the United States. Under the United States Constitution and federal law, that is the United States Congress.
The scenario you just laid out there, do you think it? How possible is that we could be in that position?
I really don't know, and there's a unique twist to it. In the House of Representatives, it's not a majority of the congressmen that elect the President of the United States if no candidate got a majority of the Electoral College vote. It's a majority of the state delegations. And in the House of Representatives, there are 26, maybe 27 delegations that have a majority Republican Congress. And then there are 20 delegations that have a majority Democrat of the members of Congress. So that's the breakdown, with three or four being a tie. We've got one undecided race in Iowa that could flip that from the undecided column or tie column to the GOP. And I can't speak for any other senators or any other congressman, but in my judgment, having been involved in politics now for a number of decades and having seen the things that I have seen, in my judgment, Joe Biden did not win the Electoral College if there was some way that we could limit the determination of the winners of the Electoral College to lawful votes cast by eligible American citizens. I am persuaded that given the systemic problems with our election system and given the anecdotal steal a few votes here, steal a few votes there problem that we're witnessing now in the media, Donald Trump won the Electoral College. Again, if we had some way of divining that these are the legal votes cast by eligible American citizens, and they're the only votes that are going to count. But how you correct for these three major systemic problems that I believe have shifted hundreds of thousands, if not millions of votes illegally to Joe Biden's camp. You can't get that done in a court of law.
Well, this is the problem the Trump legal team faces. The investigative bodies with the wherewithal to do this come from within the government, and you got to rely on the DOJ and the FBI to conduct these investigations. But just based on what we've seen the last 4 years, there's no reason to think, or at least from my standpoint, I don't know, maybe I'm misguided here, to put much stock and faith that the law enforcement at the federal level really wants to do Donald Trump any favors.
Well, actually, in an election contest, it'll be the rare day that the FBI or the Justice Department would intervene and side for one candidate or another. Maybe after it's all over with, after one of the candidates has been sworn into public office, if there is evidence of criminal activity sufficient to warrant a prosecution, there'll be a prosecution, but that'll be months after the fact, not with the kind of immediacy that a campaign needs in order to resolve that issue before the illegal votes are added up to elect a person who really did not get the lawful votes to meet that definition of election.
But, you know, think about what the country will look like if we find out early 2022 or something that this election, there was some monkey business going on. There was something that led, that was untoward, that led to Joe Biden being president of the United States. You wonder, like, there's no recourse. By then, he's sworn in, he's the president of the United States. There's no avenue left. They can't impeach him because it's not a high crime or misdemeanor unless they can show that he was directly involved. And then that's the conundrum.
You're spot on. And that gets back to what I said earlier, and that is that the justice system is not designed to handle election disputes for the president of the United States. That's why the Constitution bestowed that responsibility on our elected leaders in the House and in the Senate. And do you mind if I touch the, say, three of the systemic problems that are resulting in a miscount of lawful votes? Can I go through those real quick?
Absolutely.
Number one, the Democrats in 1993, through the National Voter Registration Act, made it illegal, repeat that, made it illegal for voter registrars to require proof of citizenship before someone walks in the door and asks to register to vote. You've got tens of millions of illegal aliens and lawful immigrants or just visa holders who are in the United States who, under this system, can register to vote because there's no way to stop them from registering to vote. Who knows how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of non-citizens registered to vote because the law disarms our voter registrars and then, in fact, voted on Election Day. That's systemic problem number one. Systemic problem number two, no voter identification is required in a number of states, none whatsoever. In North Carolina, you can just walk in and say, I'm Joe Schmo. I want to vote for Joe Schmo. You vote for Joe Schmo, and then Joe Schmo comes in 3 or 4 hours later complaining that, hey, they didn't let me vote. Well, you've got about 10 or 12 states that have no identification of any kind, and you've only got a number of states that have photo identification to ensure that the person who comes in is, in fact, the person who's supposed to be voting. So that's systemic problem number two, the lack of voter photo identification. Systemic problem number three is that the United States Constitution empowers the United States Congress to set the time, manner, place of elections. To the extent we don't, legislatures can do it. Well, by golly, we set an election day, November 3rd, 24-hour period. We did not set an election week, an election month, or election season that can magnify all the shenanigans, all the voter fraud, all the election theft issues that we're seeing now in all these states that just mailed out masses of ballots to people who may or may not have been lawfully able to vote. And to me, all of that is in direct conflict with the United States Code section that set a 24-hour period November the 3rd as Election Day. And what's critical to an election? Well, it's the voting. And so you can't be voting 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in advance unless you meet one of the specific exceptions made by the United States Congress for voting early. Like, for example, our military personnel overseas. We've given them an exception. They can vote early via mail instead of in person at the polling booth. So those are three major systemic problems. And if you remove ballots illegally cast pursuant to those three issues, then in my judgment, at least, Donald Trump won the Electoral College in a major way.
Joined by Congressman Mel Brooks here on the program. Congressman, even if let's kind of play where I think things are going, and Joe Biden is sworn in, there are problems with our election system. It's not clear to me Congress is going to do anything about it. It's so split right now. But should the federal court system look at the way Pennsylvania, for example, has handled this and maybe rule in a way that sends a message to the rest of the country, that sets a precedent, that says the Constitution says this is the way the Constitution sets up elections. Don't do this again in the future.
Pennsylvania, in my judgment, violated the United States Constitution in two major ways. One, the mass mailing of ballots. That violates the November 3rd vote on that day requirements of the United States Congress. But you focused on a second part, and that is all these non-legislative officials in Pennsylvania setting terms and conditions of the election. The Constitution doesn't empower those non-legislative bodies to do that, not even the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Under the United States Constitution, the Election Clause, Article 1, Section 4, only the legislature can make the laws pertaining to the time, place, and manner of an election, and then only to the extent that it does not conflict with what the United States Congress has done. And so you've got probably hundreds of thousands or millions of ballots, who knows the total number, that were illegally cast in the state of Pennsylvania and as such should not be counted. And as an aside, the overwhelming majority of those, both the legal and illegal ballots cast that way, were cast for Joe Biden. Hence, Donald Trump easily wins Pennsylvania if the courts would follow the law and if we had the sword of Damocles or a magic wand that would help us discern, once you commingle the legal ballots with the illegal ballots, would help us undo that. But unfortunately, we don't have the ability to undo that in most cases. Now, Pennsylvania is a little bit of an exception because the Supreme Court did say you're to segregate the ballots that are received after the election day. But that doesn't cover all of the illegal ballots that were cast in violation of these other laws that I've stated.
Well, if we're not going to have rules of the game that perhaps now Republicans are like-minded people with Republicans will start playing by what the Democrats are doing. And then you're just going to send the entire election system into a state of chaos.
It undermines the faith in our republic when we do not have the required confidence that the people, the election officials say, won the election, did or did not in fact win the election. And that is a major problem with the election system we now have. And you focused on the problem that we have in the United States Congress. We're split. The Democrats are the ones who are benefiting from these illegal casting of votes, whether it be voter fraud, election theft, or heck, just innocent mistakes, what have you. The Democrat candidates overwhelmingly are benefiting from our problems with our election system. So there's no way in the world you're going to see them try to help us clean it up.
Well, we'll have to see to be continued. Maybe that will be something Republicans could use in the future. Congressman, we're out of time, but as always, thanks for making time for us.
Certainly, Jeff. Keep things going down there in Mobile Bay. It's chilly up here. I hope it's warmer down there.
It is. Hey, if I don't hear from you again, I have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Congressman Mel Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, on the program.